Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us for Spirit, the stimulating program initiative for retirees that inspires thought. I'm Judy Steinig, Director of Community Programs for the Orthodox Union, and it's my honor to coordinate and host this program. The OU started Spirit several years ago as an on-site program, and now we're happy to present it as an online program for retirees, not yet retirees, empty nesters, baby boomers, sandwich generation parents, and seniors, everyone who is looking for educational, intellectual, and spiritual growth. Now that we're all still sheltering in during the pandemic, Spirit has become the perfect way for all of us to engage in a virtual setting. Today, we are so honored to welcome back Elaine Bodenheimer to the Spirit Forum. Elaine presented gluten-free baking a few weeks ago, and we received so many compliments on the presentation. We are very fortunate that she is joining us today for Gluten-Free Shabbos. Elaine has been teaching and writing about gluten-free cooking for over 18 years and has some wonderful recipes and techniques to share with us. It is my pleasure to turn the Spirit Forum over to Elaine. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, everybody. Nice to see you again. So today we're going to do a gluten-free Shabbos. Here's the scenario. You invited the Rubensteins for a Shabbos lunch when we're all able to get back together again. And they said, oh, we'd love to come. And then a couple of days later, either Mr. or Mrs. Rubenstein calls up and says, oh, I forgot to mention that my kids are gluten-free. And you start to panic, and then you think, oh, well, okay, I'll serve fruit for appetizer and fruit for dessert, and I'll wing it with some chicken and rice and potato kugel is gluten-free usually. Anyway, we'll figure it out. Well, instead of getting nervous or having to do something super simple, I thought it would be fun to do a whole Shabbos that's totally gluten-free and something you could serve everybody. Okay, so the first thing we're going to need to do is make some kind of hamotzi. So my friend Donna Reich in Boynton Beach, Florida, notified me about this wonderful mix. This is Katz's oat roll mix, which I had never heard of before. Donna started using it. And I actually had my own gluten-free oat roll recipe, but this, I figured we'll use this because you don't need to buy your own xanthan gum, which is a major ingredient in any kind of bread that you make. So we're going to get started right away with this recipe. And as you see, the first thing says remove racks from oven and set oven to warm. Now that's not on the instructions in the mix. The reason I'm using a mix, but I adjust it a little bit with different techniques that I do so that they rise more and they don't start baking before they need to, et cetera, et cetera. So the first thing we're going to do is take out the rack from the oven. And the reason I do that is so that the rack doesn't get hot when we put the pan with the rolls in there to rise, so that the rack is cool. We're gonna set the oven on warm. And that's gonna warm up while we're doing the rest of the procedure. So first we're gonna spray a 2 12 cup muffin cups with oil and set it aside. So I did that already. Here's one, and I'll just set it over here. It'll be all ready to go. Okay, now we're going to mix the yeast with the warm water. Mix the yeast with a half a cup of warm water. Here is the yeast, a teaspoon of yeast, and mix it with some warm water. And I usually put in a teaspoon of sugar just to help the yeast activate. Okay. And then I'm going to set this aside once this is all dissolved. And then we'll get started with the ingredients that go into the mixer itself. Okay. So it says in a large mixing bowl, beat oil. Okay. That's a half a cup of oil. And eggs, 4 eggs that I've already cracked and put into this bowl. I had set the eggs in some warm water. Whenever you do any kind of bread, whether it's gluten-free or regular bread, it's always a good idea to warm up your and as many of your ingredients as you can, not hot, but just slightly warm. So I always put the eggs into some warm water. Put in eggs, and then honey. Honey, vinegar, that's cider vinegar, and I decided to put in the granulated garlic and the rosemary because we like it to have some interesting flavors in our rolls. The recipe on Mrs. Katz's package does not call for spices. You can either put it in or leave it out, whatever you prefer. I think you put in all the ingredients, yeah. And then you add in the yeast mixture. Okay. And then you slowly add the dry mix and mix for 2 minutes. Mix for a couple minutes is because in this mixture is xanthan gum. What xanthan gum does, it acts like a glue. Regular flour has gluten, and the gluten will bind the protein together and it will help, you know, things create a dough. Since we don't have the advantage of having gluten, so xanthan gum is added to a lot of recipes. I think I'll turn this off so you can hear better. Is added to a lot of recipes that are used for bread. So when you look for a muffin recipe or pizza recipe or any kind of bread recipe, you're gonna have xanthan gum in there. And that's why we have to beat this a little bit longer, okay? Okay, now. It says mix for 10 more minutes. Okay, I'm not going to do that. We're going to turn off the oven and replace the oven rack. I'm not going to beat this for 10 more minutes because we have other things that we want to make. So when this is all beaten, you're going to put these rolls into your prepared muffin tins. So it's going to fill 24 of these. On the package, it says 16, but I found that really does 24. So if you beat it up, you're going to get 24 rolls. And then what you do is you put it in the oven. I want, because the oven is off, you put it in a warm oven and it let it rise for 1 hour. And then after it's risen for 1 hour, you turn the oven on 400 and let it bake for about a half an hour. And then I'll show you what they turn out like when they're all done. This is how they turn out when they're done. They come out really delicious. And you get 24 of these wonderful oat rolls. So that is our gluten-free bread mix. And if you want to spray it with some oil and put some sesame seeds or poppy seeds on top, you can do that before you put them in the oven, before you turn the oven on 400 to bake them. Okay, so we're gonna leave that here only because we're not gonna let this run for 10 minutes. Okay, now our next recipe is going to be mushroom chicken crepes. So I'm gonna move the computer over here. So the next part of the program we're going to do at the oven. Okay, now what we're going to do, let me get the other recipe. Okay, this one is called chicken and mushroom crepes. Now this is going to be a very interesting recipe because these crepes, these leaves that I'm making, are going to be able to be used for any kind of crepes that you like. So they're going to be very multi-purpose. I'm making something fleischig because this is what we're doing for today, but I've used these same crepe leaves for blintzes, for cheese blintzes, for blueberry blintzes. You can make cherry blintzes. They're really, really delicious. Okay, so the first thing we're going to do is to put all these ingredients that are listed on the recipe into a food processor. 6 eggs, 4 tablespoons of potato starch, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 cup of water. So I've put all those things in here already. Okay. Now I'm going to pour all these things, all this whole mixture into a measuring cup. It doesn't have to be a measuring cup. It could be any kind of a container. Okay, I'm going to heat up my pan. Now, just so that you get an idea how big these blatlof, we call them blatlof, but they're leaves, are, I'm using a 9-inch frying pan. Okay, now I'm going to spray the pan with cooking spray. In the last video I showed you, I used almost exclusively Walmart stuff because it's the cheapest thing and it has an OU. You have to be careful with sprays because some, especially Pam, is now putting flour in their spray. So you have to make sure there's no flour in your cooking spray. The Walmart one has no flour and it's gluten-free, just plain oil. Okay, so I on the recipe I said let the bubbles settle down because when you have bubbles on this leaf, you're going to get holes in the leaf. So you can stir it a little bit or let it sit for a few minutes. And we poured it into a large cup and we're waiting for the bubbles to subside. And we heated the nonstick frying pan and we sprayed it with cooking spray. Now we're going to pour it out. This is the trick. Pour it in just to cover the bottom. Just to cover the bottom of the pan. Then you let it cook on the bottom. People think it's a big tear from making blintzes or blatlof or crepes. It's not a big deal. Just let it swirl and let it set and cook it a little bit on the bottom. And then once one side is cooked, we're going to flip it over and heat the other side till that's done. Now, actually, the same recipe is terrific because you can also make pesach noodles. A lot of people's mothers and grandmothers used to have this special recipe for pesach noodles. All they did was take this mixture, fry it each side, and then they would stack them up on a plate, and then let them cool before they stack them up. Let them cool, and then cut them thin, and then people would get pesach noodles. I went to a funeral once, and all the family talked about was how they missed their mother's pesach noodles. Well, this is the recipe. Okay, so this side is done. You see how it's just cooked. Okay, and it helps to have Teflon fingers. let me get a spatula. Spatula, flip it over like that. Okay. And then that only has to cook another minute or even less than a minute. And then you can slide it out and put it on your plate. And we're going to make a couple more. Then we're going to make the filling. Now, all we have in here is potato starch, salt, water, and eggs. That's it. And as I said, if you want to know the recipe for making cheese blintzes, I take a farmer cheese and I add a little bit of regular cottage cheese. If you don't have that, take some sour cream to make it a little looser, put in some sugar and cinnamon. And I'm going to show you how to roll them up. And then you've got cheese blintzes. I'm making out this in a power frying pan. So this can be used either for a milk filling, a power filling, or a flagship filling. If you want to make your life really easy, open a can of blueberry pie filling or cherry pie filling, and you've got cherry or blueberry blintzes. Okay. Now this one will come out a lot better because I didn't try to do it with my fingers. That's it. They're very, very simple. Okay, so we're not going to make the whole bowl of them. We're just going to make a couple, and so you can see how they're made. All right, now we're going to start with the filling. Start with a frying pan. And we're going to fry a chopped onion. Start with a medium. I put in a little bit of oil. I think I wrote 2 tablespoons. You can see how well I measured that. Okay, here are our ingredients. We have a chopped onion. And once your pan is nice and hot, put in the onion and let it Okay. Now you can use any kind of chicken that you have around, whether you don't have to go out and buy chicken. If I make chicken soup, I take the chicken off the bones and I put them in the freezer. I chop them up and I'm already ready to go with chicken, with diced chicken that I can make these blintzes anytime I want. While this is sauteing, I wanted to mention one more thing about the rolls that we made before. I make them in a muffin tin, but my friend Donna told me you can make them in a slightly larger container, which is like for a very small oval pan, and then you have it something that looks more like a little challah. I would not try to make a big challah pan or a 9-inch round pan. They usually collapse. So the smaller the pan that you're baking it in, the better they will get baked and your result will be much better. Okay, so this is just about sauteed. Now I'm gonna put in the mushrooms, which I've drained, and the chicken. It's all going to mix together. And as I said on this recipe, this basic recipe will probably make about 12 leaves. It's very easy to double it. But my experience has been that if you're going to make it, I would not make the leaves a day in advance. They dry out. Even I've tried covering them with plastic and putting them in a Ziploc bag, they start to crack the next day. So whenever you're going to fill them, I would fill them the same day. Once the leaves are full, you can fill them, but I wouldn't leave the leaves in the fridge overnight because that's not going to be a good result. It'd be frustrating. Okay, here's some duck sauce I put in to put some flavor. not just a soy sauce. Oh, another word about soy sauce, which I mentioned in the last video, but I will repeat it this time. If you like the flavor of soy sauce better than duck sauce, that's fine. Be very careful. Soy itself is gluten-free, but most soy sauces are made with wheat. So I always use LaChoy because LaChoy is not made with wheat. You can always check the bottle and see that it says gluten-free. Okay, so your soy sauce has to be gluten-free if you're going to use soy sauce. That's why I always use duck sauce. I don't have to worry about it. So now we're going to take a little over a tablespoon of filling. Now this I have to show you, so let me move the pot. Okay, so I'm going to take some of the filling. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how to roll them. When I make cheese blinzers, I don't do the same procedure because the cheese blinz filling is drier. So I put the cheese filling into one of these leaves and just roll it up like a hot dog. But this one I enclose and I'll show you how to do that. Take about one tablespoon, maybe two tablespoons of filling. And I fold up the bottom once to cover the filling. Then I fold it to the right and I fold it from the left and then fold it up to the top. So you're left with this kind of a packet. Okay, this kind of an envelope. And in order for it to stay sealed, I have one egg white. So if I just take my fingers and I just put it onto the leaf and then close it. And that will seal it so when you're ready to fry it, it won't come open. So you've got one packet like that. We're going to make one more of the other one. Fold it from the bottom, fold it from the right, fold it from the left. And then put some egg white over here and then seal it up. So that's how you have two of them. And you can make all of them that way, okay? If I would use the same process for doing it with blueberry pie filling or cherry, whatever fruit filling you want because you want it to be closed. But the cheese one, the cheese doesn't come out if you're using farmer cheese because it's a pretty dry consistency. So that one I just roll up like a hot dog. And then you fry them and they freeze beautifully. I keep a whole bunch in the freezer all the time. So whenever I want to serve an appetizer, I just take out a few and it's ready to go. I usually fry them actually before I freeze them. And this way you don't have to do anything except defrost them or put them in the microwave when you're ready to serve them. Okay, so now you've got your rolls. You have an appetizer. Okay, now most people like to serve, many people like to serve chicken soup for Friday night. Of course, if you have vegetable soup, that's okay too. But if you like to serve quinoa in your soup, then we have a wonderful quinoa recipe. So this is my boiling water, which I started off before. And I will show you the recipe and we will start making that. Okay. Now, a word about the ingredients here. This one is 2 eggs, 3 tablespoons of oil, 1/3 teaspoon of salt, and 3/4 cup plus 1 tablespoon of instant potato flakes. Now, a word about instant potato flakes. Instant potato flakes are your new best friend for gluten-free cooking. Why? Because when you have a recipe that calls for matzo meal, you can just substitute instant potato flakes. Now, there are many brands out there. A lot of them, most of them have an O. A lot of them have an OU. But you have to be careful because many of the ones that have an OU have an OUD. This particular one does not, and I have a few more others in my cabinet that also do not have a D. This is Idaho, but any kind of instant potato flakes with that are not, unless you're making a milk and soup and you want to serve a milk and soup, that's your prerogative. Okay, so, and whenever you want to make something gluten-free that calls for matzo meal, try instant potato flakes. They work very, very well. I use it in meatloaf, I use it in hamburgers, I use it in all kinds of stuff that people usually use matzo meal with. Okay, so we're going to start making this recipe. Okay. Two eggs. Okay, now what I do with the eggs is I heat them up a little bit. Okay. Now I add 3 tablespoons of oil, 1/3 teaspoon of salt, and this is the instant potato flakes that I've measured. It is 3/4 cup plus 1 tablespoon. Now, I'll tell you something interesting. Sometimes when you mix this, I guess it depends on the size of your eggs, how soft it's going to be. I found that this measurement works pretty well. When you let it sit, it will dry out and become very easy to form into kale. This one is a little bit loose still. I wouldn't bother putting in another tablespoon of potato flakes. Because as it sits in the fridge, or I even left it on the counter for an hour, it's dried out too. And here is the mixture after it sat for a while. Right here. So it already dried out, and it's going to be very easy to make it into cake. Okay, so I'm going to take my boiling pot. And I'm going to see how many. I think I said six. Yeah, six. Okay, this is just fine. Now, I'm just warning you. I've made these and did the same thing I'm doing. And I squeeze it while I'm doing it to make them stick together. I've made these many times. I never make a single recipe. I always make a double recipe because who wants just six meatloaf? And for Pesach, I've made like quadruple the recipe, which is fine too. Okay. And depending how big you want the knedlah, I usually make them about 1 inch like that. But if you want them bigger, you can make them bigger. If you want them smaller, you can make them smaller. And I squeeze them as I go along. And usually I keep the top one also as I go along. And then I put them in a bowl and put them all in at once. That's actually a better way to do it. I want to tell you, I've made these many times, and every so often when I open the top after they've cooked, they've fallen apart. I have no idea why. So if you have any suggestions how they won't fall apart, I'm happy to hear that. I make it the same way every time, and usually they come out perfect. And every so often they fall apart. So if it happens to you, don't despair. That happens to everybody. Sometimes if you try to put in a little extra potato flake, that might make it better. So that's why I always say, you know, you can experiment with the amount of potato flakes you put in. Try putting a little extra. Okay, so we have 2 in the pan. And yeah, made exactly 6. Maybe it's a little bigger than an inch. Probably it's a little bigger than an inch. I have a Hungarian background, so I tend to do things a little more, put a little extra, do things a little bigger, but okay. Now I'll put all 6 in and cook them all together. Okay, great. Now that's gonna cook for about a half an hour and make sure you leave the tap on. Also, it's a good idea to make a pot big, take a pot big enough to accommodate all your knedlers. This is probably a 6-quart pot and I only put in 6. You can easily put in a double recipe in here. But if you're going to make more than a double recipe, I would use 2 pots or a very big pot, a wider pot. And they have to have their broom. And they also will grow. I'm going to show you how they turn out at the end when I wash off my goofy hands. Here are the canela that are done. And you see they came out pretty big. So they do grow quite a bit when they have room to swim around in that hot water. Okay, so now you've had your rolls, you've had your chicken and mushroom crepe, and you have canela for your soup. Now for the main course. Because this is supposed to be just a 1-hour video, I did not put in a meat recipe because meat by nature is gluten-free. You have to be careful when you make meat. You're going to have soy sauce, as I mentioned to you. The soy sauce has to be gluten-free. If you're going to make chicken, okay, if you make chicken with just spices, you're fine. If you want to make some kind of crumb topping on your chicken, then you may have a challenge because even though it sounds like cornflakes crumbs should be gluten-free. Regular, whatever it's called, Kellogg's cornflakes are not gluten-free. They have malt in them. Malt is a wheat product. So most cereals by nature are not gluten-free, but a lot of Chex cereals are. So if you want to make some kind of crumb topping for your chicken, I would start with Chex, corn Chex or rice Chex. You can add to it, once again, potato flakes and crush that all together. What I love to put into a topping on chicken is potato chips. Put in potato chips. Now they have gluten-free pretzels. You can crush a pretzel. Put in spices, salt, and pepper, garlic, cumin, whatever you like on your chicken. And then that is your crumb topping. So you don't have to, so don't use cornflakes crumbs. A lot of people make that mistake. They think cornflakes is have gluten, but it does. Most cereals, if you look at the box, is say malt, and malt is a wheat product. Okay, so now I decided for the side dish to make something besides potato cocoa. A lot of people have potato cocoa. A lot of people's potato cocoa is gluten free anyway. Some people have a thickener. If you're used to putting in matzo meal, don't put in potato flakes instead. Some people use potato starch, and that's fine. But some people have no thickeners in their potato cocoa, and then that's fine by itself. It's just potatoes, onions, eggs, oil, salt, and pepper. Okay, so that's fine. I'm gonna put this in the back. Okay, now we're going to make, I thought it'd be interesting to make an apple cocoa because that's not the same old as potato cocoa. So let's get all our ingredients for apple cocoa and we'll make an apple cocoa. Okay, so we have, our apples, sugar, eggs, just 1 second. All right. This recipe. We preheated our oven to 350 degrees. And we combine all the ingredients, okay? So we're gonna put in apples. There are 4 apples, 2 of them are sliced, and 2 of them were shredded. Now we put in a third of a cup of sugar and 6 eggs. I'll beat the eggs a little bit just to break them up. Okay. And oil. Okay, the starch, which I mentioned is our friend for a binder. Okay. 1 teaspoon of salt. Oh, I put the salt in the potato starch. 1 teaspoon of lemon juice. And I like raisins, so I'm going to put raisins in. Here's our greased pan. Here are the raisins. You can either add them or not, whatever you prefer. Okay, mix all of this together. And this is a little different from your standard potato kugel that a lot of people have for Shabbos. Actually, I'll tell you something interesting. If you want to make a luxury kugel, you can do that. You have to get, obviously, gluten-free noodles. And I usually stock them after Pesach, because Pesach, you see, Geffen has gluten-free noodles for Pesach. So buy extras on Pesach, and then you'll have it during the year. And then you can use your regular Lakshinkukul recipe if you like Lakshinkukul. Okay. And now you've got an idea for 3 kugels. You can make a potato kugel, you can make a gluten-free Lakshinkukul, or you can make this delicious apple kugel. Now, when I make this, I always like, here's the what it looks like in the pan. And I always like sprinkling some sugar and cinnamon on top. That gives it a nice topping. Okay, that's it. I've preheated my oven to 350. I'm gonna put it in the oven for about 50 minutes. Okay, let me just set the timer so I don't forget. Okay. Now, Judy, do we have time for a bonus recipe?
Absolutely.
Great. Okay.
That's why we've got time. We are all looking forward to seeing it.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
We definitely would love to see what you have.
Okay, great. Okay, so I wasn't sure if we would have time for dessert, but I prepared a delicious peanut butter chocolate chip cookie recipe for dessert, just in case we do have time. And this recipe is really good for people who have no gluten-free ingredients at home. Here we go. Okay, so if you have no gluten-free ingredients at home, this is the recipe for you. And especially if you like peanut butter, then that's taco wrap. Okay. All All right, here we go. This recipe calls for 1 cup of smooth peanut butter or crunchy, 3/4 cup of sugar, 1 egg, 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 3/4 cup of chocolate chips, and 1/2 cup of roasted salted peanuts. All those things are gluten-free. So I'm putting in the peanut butter. Oh, you put in the chocolate chips and peanuts last. You put in the egg with the peanut butter and the baking soda, of sugar and baking soda and salt, which I put all together. This is everybody's favorite easy recipe that's gluten-free, and nobody has to run out and buy all kinds of fancy ingredients, not even potato starch. All right, so I put in the egg, I put in the peanut butter, I put in the baking soda, and it's starting to stiffen up. You see, as you mix it, it's getting stiffer. I don't understand how this works. I think if I were a chemist, I would understand that peanut butter bakes, and I think the baking soda makes it stiffen up, I think. Okay, now we're gonna add lastly peanuts and chocolate chips. I have a friend that I learned with, and whenever we finish a parsha, she says to me, all I want is the peanut butter cookies. So every time, and she lives in New York, so every time we finish a parsha, she gets a container of peanut butter chocolate chip cookies. Okay, here's the chocolate chips. You can obviously add as many chocolate chips or peanuts as you wish, according to your own taste. Okay? That's it. No special ingredients, nothing fancy. And all we do now is take a cookie scooper. And somebody mentioned that when she uses parchment paper, she crumples it up. If that works for you, that's fine. I like spraying the pan with a little bit of oil and then laying down the parchment paper so the parchment paper doesn't slide around. And you take your cookie scooper and you scoop out your cookies. Let's see if it says how many it makes. It makes 30 cookies if you have a medium-sized cookie scoop like that. And what I mentioned about preheating the oven now, 350. Okay, you make these at 350 and you scoop them all out of the pan and you will have 30 delicious peanut butter chocolate chip cookies. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this gluten-free Shabbos, and I hope you'll be able to make it and have a wonderful time doing all this cooking and baking for your family and your friends who happen to be gluten-free.
Elaine, thank you so much. That was wonderful. I think everybody enjoyed watching it, and we can't wait to try it. And I think with that, except for the cookies, because those you couldn't use on Pesach, right? But everything else is perfect for Pesach as well. That's so whether correct. You have people that have celiac or just having your own family, I think you have us already. Maybe, though, we will have company for Pesach. We'll wait and see what happens in the world. But right. Thank you so much. It was wonderful. And you gave us so many good techniques and even hints of all the different products. One question for you. The chocolate chips, are they all gluten-free? Is that an issue?
You know, it's so interesting you say that. I have never seen chocolate chips that weren't gluten-free, but somebody pointed out to me once that they found chocolate chips that were not gluten-free. So you have to, I would just read the ingredients, make sure there's nothing in there like any kind of a starch or wheat or whatever. Most of the ones that I've used, certainly the Jewish ones, I think are, but don't quote me on it. Always check your ingredients.
Right.
And for people who haven't made anything gluten-free before, things that have gluten have wheat, barley, rye, oats, and spelt. Those are the 5 grains that have gluten. And if you want to stay away from gluten, you stick to corn, potatoes, and rice.
Okay. Thank you. And of course, when in doubt, of course, ask your nutritionist, ask your doctor. That's always the way to go. Here we're giving you some suggestions, but you always have to check all those things out.
That's correct.
Thank you so much. And thank everybody. We thank you for joining us. And we look forward to seeing you on our next spirit program. Watch your emails for the next registrations. Take care, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Be safe, be healthy, and enjoy the cooking.